Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our sustainer and lover of our soul, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Pentecost. Good job. I want to thank you. I want to thank all of our readers. Clara always does a great job. Sandra, who used her talents for speaking Spanish for us this morning. We wanted to give you just a different experience of reading along and hearing the epistle in a different way. So thank you to Clara, thank you to Sandra, thank you folks for being patient and for your cooperation. Okay, so this past Monday, I was golfing with others in a golf league, and one of my fellow golfers asks where I work, so I tell them. Then in turn, I asked them, I mean, it's only the polite thing to do, right? And he said, well, I work at one of the engineering buildings at Purdue as the director of the Flex Lab, which in his words means I work with graduate students to get them what they need. And before I could catch myself, I replied, that's beautiful. Not the normal response you have on a golf course about exchanging occupations. But it was such a wonderful job. His eyes widened to my response, so I knew something was out of kilter. But before we could talk anymore, we had to tee up again. So after that, and we walked to find our tee shots, I said, sorry if my response was a little odd. He said, no, it's all right, not at all. But he went on to say, as much as I like to provide what the graduates need, I really enjoy even more connecting with the graduates and learning about what they're doing. So as I was reading the scripture for today, I couldn't help but think about that short conversation. God is the one who connects with us and provides what we need. This is the way God has always worked and continues to work and invite us into relationship. He's done this. God has done this from the very beginning. The gift of the Spirit breaks down the boundaries and removes that which separates us from God and one another. We hear this in the reading from Numbers. And at this point, Moses has been leading God's people for over 2 years into the wilderness. And frankly, Moses has been overfunctioning, getting burnt out. Moses' father-in-law even warned him that Moses would need help and should begin sharing the leadership responsibilities with others. So at this point, the people have received the Ten Commandments. They've received manna from heaven. They were beginning to get really tired of many things, traveling, setting up and tearing down camp, not knowing where they were going, not knowing when they would finally arrive, and they were especially fed up with the manna from heaven. I mean, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, manna, manna, manna. So much so, they began to wish that they were back in Egypt, where at least they had more variety of food, like meat, I guess. We can't blame them too much. It seems to be human nature to want to live in a certainty, even if that means living in the past, no matter how unpleasant that past has been. And I figure that's because in the past, at least, we know we survived. But living in the past can be a boundary to living into the future. Humans tend to believe the past, no matter how brutal, is less frightening than the mystery of an unknown future. So that's when God spoke to Moses and told him in Numbers 11. So the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 of your elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place there with you. I will come down and speak with you there. I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them. And they will share and they will bear the burden of the people along with you so that you will not bear it all by yourself. So God gave Moses what he needed, more help, and broke the boundaries by sharing the Holy Spirit. God poured out the Holy Spirit on Moses and others way before the church holiday we call Pentecost, because God is the one who provides what we need and continues to invite us into relationship. As we heard from Clara today, Moses gathered the 70 elders and placed them around the tent. God came down and took some of the spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 elders, and they began to prophesy. However, two men, Eldad and Medad, were not in their place around the tent of meeting, but remained at their own camp. The Spirit fell on them, and they prophesied right where they were at, right within their camp that they were. And of course, a young man from the camp told Moses exactly what was happening with Eldad and Medad. And this young man, Joshua, the son of Nun, an assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, overheard and asked Moses to stop them. Moses, they're not doing it right. They're not doing it the right way. That's not the way we've done it before, Moses. But Moses asked, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people were prophets and that the Lord would put God's spirit on them? You know, Joshua might have been jealous that others received the spirit, but I think, more than likely, Joshua, son of Nun, was more confused because he thought the Spirit of God was only meant for certain individuals and not everyone. Joshua presumed the Spirit of God only worked in his perceived box. Just like in the past, the Spirit should only work with Moses or the 70 elders in their appropriate places. Yet, of course, God blows that box apart. And that's the point. The point is that all of God's people have the Spirit poured out upon them, and that they would courageously prophesy of God's love into an unknown, mysterious future. See, there are many individuals who want to keep the giftedness of a select few, and those who wish to have certainty instead of mystery. And this creates more boundaries that separate us from God and one another. But God is with us through the Spirit to lead us into relationship and an unknown, mysterious future. We hear a similar reaction to the outpouring of the Spirit in our readings in Acts. So on that day in Pentecost, the apostles were all gathered together, and the sound of rushing wind filled the entire house. Tongues as of fire appeared among them and rested on each one of them. All of them filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews in every nation. And at this sound, they all were gathered and bewildered because each could hear their own native language. They were all amazed and astonished, asking, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear in our own native language? All were amazed and perplexed, asking, what does this mean? There might have been a Lutheran there. In verse 13, we find a similar reaction to what we heard from our friend Joshua in Numbers. Others who sneered and said, they are all filled with new wine. Those people would not allow themselves to believe and live into the mystery of God working through the Holy Spirit right in front of them in the strangers and the foreigners. Yet Peter speaks up and brings the crowd's attention back to the promise of God. God promised that this would happen. God tells them the apostles are not drunk as they suppose. So let's hear again the words from Peter that he quotes from Joel, Acts 2. In the days to come, it is our God who speaks. I will pour out my spirit on all humankind. Your daughters and sons will prophesy. Your young people will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even on the most insignificant of my people, both women and men, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. This whole time, it's been God's nature to give us what we need. The Spirit has always been with us to break down barriers and separate us, and break down the barriers and what separates us from God and one another. The Spirit is here among us, and we are called to use the gifts of the Spirit to clarify, to unify, to love, and to forgive. When the voices of suspicion, separation, hate, and blame begin to build boundaries between us. We have all been given gifts of the Spirit. As we hear in 1 Corinthians, to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. And when we are faced with the reality of those in power questioning the gifts and rights of the innocent and those considered by the powerful as insignificant, we are called to lean on the Spirit and on our spiritual gifts to stand with the innocent and those considered as insignificant. So, for example, this past week, we saw that a grade school in an unnamed state has restricted the poem, The Hill We Climb, written and read by Amanda Gorman at the president's inauguration. As reported by the New York Times, Gorman felt gutted this week after hearing the news that a school said the poem was inappropriate for its youngest students. Ms. Gorman, now 25, said in a statement on Instagram a week ago, Thursday, that she wrote the poem, quote, so that all young people could see themselves in a historical movement. Ever since I've received countless letters and videos, from children inspired by the poem, The Hill We Climb, to write their own poems, she said. Robbing children of the chance to find their voice in literature is a violation of their right to free thought and free speech, end quote. And I would add, it violates their gifts of the Spirit. Attacks like these are subtle and fly under the radar, but they are made to build barriers and separate the body of Christ from one another and from God. More blatant attacks like racism, white supremacy, nationalism, homophobia, and mass shootings perpetuate a closed-minded focus on the past and humans' need for control. There's certainty in that past. Even though it was brutal, full of violence and hatred and the rest of it. But some of those in power who long for that control, they don't want to be open to the mysterious, unknown spirit and new life because it threatens their authority. Yet, because we are a part of the body of Christ, we are called to listen to the Spirit and to listen to one another. In our listening, we invite an openness to the mystery of God's love and walk into an unknown, mysterious future where the Spirit guides us. When we experience an openness to life, no matter what color or race or gender expression from which life originates, we recognize this is where the Spirit of God dwells. The Spirit of God has been released. It has been poured out on everyone. We are not the judge of who is in and who is out. That's Jesus' responsibility. The Spirit falls on all of us. It's been God's business to break down barriers that we construct mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and communally. So the question is, how will you, OSLC, how will you, people viewing from home, use the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts she provides to bring together what has been separated? How can we dismantle the barriers set between us? God has fulfilled God's promise of loving us because God wants to connect with us. God gave us God's only Son to teach us so that we can break down the barriers that separate us. And now, to fulfill our needs, we are blessed with the Holy Spirit to guide us and from whom we have our spiritual gifts that we recognize in others. Amen.